Welcome to Mountain View Church's weekly one-hour program that includes both new and well-known contemporary praise and worship music, Bible readings, and of course, our weekly sermon. We trust and pray that this program uplifts and blesses you. Mountain View Church is located at 5 Church Street in Te Araha, New Zealand. We hold services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday, and visitors are always welcomed with a smile. We'd love for you to join us. Children's Church is also available during school terms. And without further ado, let's honour God with this week's praise and worship songs. We hope you enjoy them.
Sent to up. Let me hear you. carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see.
Never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your head from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Forever sinking deep in my I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love. When I'm lost, you pursue me, lift my head. Captivated by the splendor of your face, oh my secret place. I'm wide awake, drawing closer by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into you. And all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. So I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
The word for today with Rhema.
God will give you everything you need. From Matthew 6 verse 33. When you read God's word, you discover how he feels about you. As a result, your memories begin to heal. Your self-worth is restored and you stop trading with a devalued self-image. In a survey of supposedly happy couples, over 50% said they wouldn't marry the same person again. Why? Because the answer to loneliness isn't people, it's purpose. The Apostle John was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos when God showed him the glories of heaven and he wrote the book of Revelation. Paul was alone in a Roman dungeon when he wrote half the New Testament. God did some of his best work when he was alone with no one to applaud him. So he praised himself saying, "It was very good." From Genesis 1 verse 31. Can you do that? It's nice when others speak well of you, but when you can speak well of yourself, it reflects your opinion of yourself, and that's the one you live with every day. Three cheers for these Bible heroes who taught us how to be alone and enjoy it. Somewhere beyond loneliness, there is a contentment born of necessity. When your options close in the natural realm, you find doors opening to you in the spiritual realm. So, work on deepening your relationship with God. As you do, you'll find joy and develop qualities that attract the right people. It's why Jesus said that when you seek the kingdom of God above all else and live it righteously, he'll give you everything you need. From Matthew 6 verse 33, including self-worth.
The Word for Today with Rhema. You can also read it online at rhema.co.nz.
Your goodness.
Trust and pray that you've enjoyed the praise and worship music that we've presented in this week's program. Let's now listen to this week's sermon that's presented by Pastor Steve Collicutt.
How many of you have heard of a king called Josiah? From the Bible. So 1 Kings chapter 13. What's happened is King David has lived and died and passed the kingdom on to Solomon. And Solomon has lived and died and passed the kingdom on to his son Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, some people came to him and said, "Are you going to lighten the load that your father put on us?" And Rehoboam said, "Come back in 3 days, and I'll give you my answer." So Rehoboam goes to the elders who were his father's advisors, and the elders who were his father's advisors say, "You know, if you listen to the people, God will allow your kingdom to last forever." Rehoboam doesn't like that advice, so he goes to the younger fellas that he grew up with. And the younger fellas' advice is, "Let them know that my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Where my dad put taxes on you and flailed you, I will flail you with scorpions." And so he answered them harshly, and the 10 tribes of Israel said, "Right, we're off. Judah, you're by yourself." And so that's how the kingdom of Israel split between Judah and I think Simeon a little bit, and then the other 10 tribes. And Benjamin, yeah. So the kingdom of Israel gets handed to this guy, Jeroboam. And Jeroboam started out as a man who feared God. But then he allowed fear and insecurity to take hold of his heart. And he said, there's still this requirement for the tribes of Israel to go back to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the festivals. But if they do that, they're going to give their allegiance again to Rehoboam and the kingdom of Judah. So I know what. And he creates a couple of calf idols. And he sets one up in the north of Israel and one in the south. And he says, "Hey, Israel, here are the gods who delivered you from Egypt. Worship them." And then he develops his own festivals to mimic or copy the festivals of the Lord of Jerusalem. But he puts them in a different month. And he says, "These are your gods." And so he sets up his own religious system. Yeah. And then we get to 1 Kings chapter 13. And there's this man of God. He comes from Judah. He comes to one of these sites where Jeroboam has set up his calf idol. And he says, "By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel." This is 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. "Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. He cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, 'O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here. And human bones will be burned on you.' That same day, the man of God gave a sign. 'This is the sign that the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes in it will be poured out.'" When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" But the hand he stretched out towards the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored. So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. Interesting, eh? The man of God's not named. How many times do you, in your obedience to God, feel like nobody's watching? Nobody knows your name. Nobody's looking out for you. But you've been obedient to the voice in your heart, the voice that you've heard in your spirit, and you've just gone and done what you know to be true and know to be right. So it's not about your fame. So where does King Josiah come into all this? 300 years later. 300 years later. And Josiah is 8 years old when he becomes king. And he institutes all these reforms and changes. And there's a spiritual revival in terms of turning from idols back to worshiping God. And then just Josiah's advisors, they're searching the temple. They're cleaning it out because in the past the temple has been used for idol worship. Priests of Baal have got in there. And so they're restoring the temple. They're cleansing it, and they find a book. And in that book is a record of this man of God's prophecy. And Josiah sees his name. Isn't it amazing? This book may just seem like words on a page. It's a record of the history of Israel and then a record of the history of the church. Why is it full of stories? So we can learn from them. So we don't forget history, we don't forget stories. So we can apply the principles to our own lives. So that like Josiah, we can see our names written in there. Like Josiah, we can find how our story intersects with his story. And like Josiah, step into what we know to be true. And what I like about the stories in the scripture, the stories in what we call the Bible, is that they never say this is right or this is wrong. They just tell the story how it is. And that helps us see ourselves in there. That helps us relate those stories to our own lives. And the question that it keeps asking us is, which character do you want to be? Because sometimes we'll be like Jeroboam, where we start out right, but then fear and insecurity takes a hold of our hearts and we end up instituting our own religion. Sometimes we'll start out like that no-name man of God. And he knew the word of the Lord, but then some other people came along and deceived him, and he ended up losing his life that day. And sometimes we'll be like Josiah, and we can see with clarity that, oh, this is talking about me. one of the clearest times that I can remember words on the page leaping out at me was 3 days before I was water baptized. And I was reading through Psalm 139. And the words just leapt out of the page, and it was like, oh, this is me. This is me. 3 days later, after going through the waters of a baptism, one of the people witnessing the spectacle of witnessing that moment picks up the scripture and shares Psalm 139. Right. Wow. Another time, I'd been through some stuff and I didn't like the answer that God had given me. In fact, I felt that God was silent. And then there was this huge impression to read Job chapters 39 to 42. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, Job went through some stuff. And then God answers him but doesn't answer him. God says, I've done all this. What have you done? And Job's response is, I've heard of you, but now I've seen you. I repent in dust and ashes. And I accept that you don't have to answer me. Those leading up to that moment, I just felt like someone was praying for me. The thought to read those scriptures came to mind, and it just spoke directly into the situation I was facing. 3 days later, I asked someone, were you praying for me? And they said, yep. And I said, was it on Friday night? And they went, yep. Was it about this time? Well, actually, I don't know if I got that specific, but it makes for a good story. And I said, yeah, Friday night, we're praying for you. Like, thank you so much. There are times when it's the Spirit of God working in us and cooperating with the Word of God that brings the Word of God to life, that enables us to see ourselves in His story. Jesus came to reveal the Father and so that we can participate in His story. Jesus came to reveal the Father so that we can participate in His story. In His story. So like Josiah, we can find ourselves with our name in the book. And it may not be as clear as seeing Jackie written in there, as Josiah saw his name. Or it may be as clear as seeing David written in there as David's name is. You know, your name may not literally be in there. But allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart so that you can identify yourselves with the story that God's wanting to tell. Because God will be glorified. And He's wanting to cooperate with you and I to bring that about. I think in the kitchen we have some symbols of bread and juice of communion. If someone could go and grab those and hand those out, please. Yeah. Well, actually, two people. You know, Jesus said that this bread is a symbol of my body. This juice is a symbol of my blood. And He's inviting us to a meal. In fact, whenever I see Jesus, he's always eating. Or if he's not eating, he's between meals. You know, he's always inviting people to share food with, to participate, to share. And in doing so, he's inviting them to be reconciled. I mean, because how many of you have meals with those that you don't like? Well, most of us, because I did see one hand, most of us eat with people that we like. But if there are, you know, there is a scripture somewhere where it says that God prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. God enables us to be, you know, because we were once enemies of God. And it was while we're still enemies that Jesus came. Jesus has prepared a table. And the meal is that we partake in represents his body that was broken and his blood that purchased our forgiveness. And it was all done so that we may participate in his story. And so, as we unwrap this, I bless you to see your name in the book. I bless you to see the character that God is calling you to be. I bless you to realize that there is an opportunity to participate in the divine life. 1 Peter. And I bless you to walk in it. I bless you to participate in his story. I bless you in Jesus' name. Take and eat and take and drink. I'll just read from Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it, but sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me, and I have loved them, even as you have loved me. Lord Jesus, through you, your promises are yes, that we may say amen. So this promise of unity of you and us in you, that together we would be one. Bring it to fulfillment.
Sure.
That we may participate in your story. That we may participate in the story of God. And continue to bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's program from Mountain View Church in Te Aroha, New Zealand. The program is broadcast every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. right here on Radio Te Aroha on 88 FM and simulcast online at radiotearoha.com. We hold services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday, and as we said at the beginning of this program, visitors are always welcomed with a smile. We'd love for you to join us. Children's Church is also available during school terms. You can get in touch with us via our website at mountainviewchurch.org.nz, where you can also listen again to this program on demand. Have a blessed week.